There is more to me, Queen Eliara of Elfgard, than my elven magic. Just as there's more to Geico than saving you money, Geico also gives you 24/7 access to licensed agents online, on the phone, or on the Geico app. And while I am a mighty elf queen, I am also a mighty big fan of barbecue potato chips. Minions! More smoky mesquite!
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Let's just try to avoid international incidents, and I think it'll be a win for the week.
Yeah, so just prepare to...
It'll be great.
It'll be perfect. Yeah.
Y'all motherfuckers don't watch us play throughout the year, to tell you the truth.
Whee!
I'm gonna be real with you, and I don't care if I get fined.
Got my sweet jerry box with some shoes on.
That train is off the track.
Who doesn't love the bouncy castle?
Hitler. Just prepare to, just prepare to be awash in unbeatable goodness.
Welcome, Pacers fans. You are listening to the Unbeatables, your semi-weekly Pacers podcast. This is episode 156, coming to you from Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm your host, Joey Gafrida, the man behind the dials and season ticket holder. This show, we're talking about David Blatt, Josh Smith, All-Star break, and some predictions. Joining me are our three analysts, coast-to-coast, like butter toast. First, from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., it's the doctor, Jason Triplett.
What is up, Pacer fans? What is up, Undebeatables? I got nothing. Let's just talk some NBA. Let's do it.
Still in Denver.
I hope that you're thawed out by now.
Me too.
Yeah.
Comedy from Denver, Colorado. He's our in-house bartender, mixing up the drinks and the crappy jingles. John Coulson.
What is up, Pacer Nation? It's Thirsty Thursday. Drink up.
Comedy from Eugene, Oregon. Out west, our enforcer, John Harper.
What is going on, boys? Got a special shout out this week, and I forgot to write down the girl's name.
Shout out.
If you had a nickel for every time that happened in your life, right?
Damon Bailey was passed as the all-time leading scorer in Indiana basketball history this week.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yes. Jackie Young.
She's now Jackie.
Yep, shout out Jackie Young. Congratulations. And she's still only halfway through her senior year. She had a 39-point effort last Thursday, giving her 3,160 points on her career. So,
wow.
She is substantially better than you at basketball. Mm-hmm. And is now our all-time leading scorer. So, shout out Indiana basketball.
Yeah, congrats. That's awesome.
We absolutely still roll. And, you know, good luck, Jackie. Hopefully a great WNBA career, too.
Sweet.
Break all the records.
Break them all.
First thing we need to get into, sad story coming out of Cleveland, Ohio this week. Coach of the Cavs, as you may have heard, he's now jobless. It's a tough economy. I don't know what he's going to do these days, but probably roaming the streets of Mother Russia. But David Blatt, it's fired. And his replacement was the assistant coach, Tyronn Lue. This player seemed to have a good rapport with from before. But I tell you what, let's just get right into it. Coulson, what were your thoughts on this?
Well, I actually don't have any thoughts on this, but I did get...
That's why we pay you the big bucks.
Well, no, the reason you pay me the money is because I got an exclusive interview with David Blatt. So I'm going to go ahead and play that for you.
He does have a lot of free time now, so...
Yeah. So, David, thanks for doing this interview with the Unbeatables. You just recently got let go by the Cleveland Cavaliers. There's been some rumor that part of the reason was that you were too soft on LeBron James.
I'm not too soft on LeBron James. Have you met LeBron James? He's very good at basketball. You know, if he doesn't get back on defense, it's not his fault. It's the four guys that can't guard five.
Wow. Fair enough, fair okay. enough. There's also been speculation that Tyronn Lue had been calling timeouts for you, had been doing a lot of the coaching for you. How do you feel about him as your replacement?
In Mother Russia, we call this being Ronald Reagan. Do you really think that Gorbachev wanted to not tear down that wall? No, but then Ronald Reagan comes in and he says, tear down the wall, and he gets all the credit. Tyronn Lue.
Irish?
Tyronn Lue, he goes, what, he gets all the credit for being winning the most games in the East? No. I lose by 32 points to the Golden State Warriors, and I get fired. I got Ronald Reagan.
fair enough. I mean, I think finally, David, what are you going to do now with all your free time?
I will probably return to my homeland in Mother Russia and drink vodka.
David, aren't you from Boston? Didn't you go to Princeton?
What they say in Mother Russia is, you don't coach the basketball. Basketball coaches you.
Thank you, David.
Shout out to Yakov Smirnoff.
I think that was a pretty revealing interview. John Colson, I'm really impressed that you got that. And I'm really impressed. Well, I'll tell you what, the thing that was most impressive to me was the fact that you were on a plane and were able to obtain that while in flight.
We did not crash the plane, although Kyle was concerned. You know, when you call out of the plane, that it's going to screw up everything and the plane's going to crash.
Yes. Because GPS doesn't work at the same time as cell phones.
Right.
You just blew Colson's mind.
So, I have a question about this.
I have no answers.
Okay. So they fire Blatt. The team is 30-10 or something when they fire him. And they had won 11 of 13 games or something like that. And in fact, they had just won a game against the Los Angeles Clippers, in which they win a nice game against the Clippers, who are a good team and playing good basketball right now. And the reason for the firing, as far as I can tell, is that David Griffin, the GM, was in the locker room after that game and didn't feel like it was a joyous enough environment. He didn't feel like the guys were connected enough or something like that. Sure, I guess that's a reason, but why now? Like, why make this move now, and why not do it in the off season?
Well, and this is just great jamming right here, because if there's any way to get people happy, it's start making heads roll.
Yeah,
that is
exactly
how you really bring up morale in a locker room.
That makes everybody comfortable.
There is this other line of reasoning out there in addition to that, and we're definitely grasping at straws a little bit, trying to figure this one out. But since the 2000-2001 season, 50 teams had a winning percentage of at least 700 at the halfway point, and only 8 of those teams won the championship. And so there clearly was a feeling that David Blatt wasn't a championship caliber coach, and so I think that they don't really care what the record says at this point. They just, you know, they're going with their gut, I guess.
But what, and I understand that. That's fine. And I think all of us had that same impression that David Blatt wasn't fit for the,
no,
to be a top.
We've been calling
coach
for his head
NBA
for over a year now.
Yeah. I mean, he, you know, did lots of, I mean, all of last year, basically, it was clear that LeBron did not respect him and preferred to talk to Tyronn Lue. In fact, there was the most pivotal illustrative point to me was in that Chicago series when David Blatt tried to call a timeout that he didn't have, and then B set up the final shot in which he was going to have LeBron James inbound the basketball. And LeBron was like, no, we're not doing that. You're going to pass me the ball.
That's not our plan. I'm sorry.
And I'm going to make this shot and we're going to win the game, which is what happened.
Which is they did, yeah.
So if it's that clear to us from the outside, like looking at this, why wouldn't they make this move in the offseason? Why not just, if Tyronn Lue is your guy, why not give him all of training camp and a preseason to install what he wants to install and go from there instead of keeping Blatt around for like, is this a cost saving thing? Like they wanted to see if maybe it was going to work or something.
This makes no sense. I mean, even within the last week, if you were going to fire the guy, don't you do it right after the Golden State game where they got their asses kicked?
That's what's weird. Right. Exactly. Yeah. That's why, I mean, I think you can make the argument that that's why he got fired, but then they did it too late. So it gets weird.
Yeah.
There's a lot of red tape. There's paperwork. You got to do. HR is honestly, you know, as Nico can attest, the HR can be overbearing.
I mean, here's the reality. The answer to that question, why now, is this just smacks of a poorly run organization. That's all it is.
Sure.
Okay. You got a GM and an owner who aren't on the same page. I mean, when you look back to where this all started, which was the hiring of David Blatt, they looked at three guys, Alvin Gentry, Tyronn Lue, and David Blatt, right?
Mm-hmm.
For head coach.
Yep.
Said no to Alvin Gentry and then said yes to both Tyronn Lue and David Blatt.
Right. Right.
So, I can't decide, so.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll just take them both, and we'll see who the head coach is later. And that's kind of exactly what they did, and it's just not good. Like
natural selection.
Exactly.
Yeah, so basically they set Blatt up for failure, right, at some level, because they...
Which he didn't need a lot of help.
Right, sure. I thought it was interesting. There's a really good article that we'll link to by Brian Windhorst, who has basically been hanging out with LeBron James since he was, like, 13 years old. Well, since LeBron was 13, not since Brian Windhorst was 13.
Yeah, that would be really weird.
Yeah. In which he says that there was always this antagonism between Blatt and the players, because the players viewed Blatt as a rookie NBA, as a rookie coach, basically. You know, he wins his first game and they're all excited for him and they give him the game ball and he's like, dudes, I've been coaching ball for 20 years. Like, this is not that exciting for me. Like, so right. I think there was always this sort of struggle between, like, he felt like he was much more experienced and had a better handle on what he wanted to do with the team than the team's opinion of him was, right?
Yeah, I think that's accurate.
In Mother Russia, wins mean nothing.
So LeBron James obviously is going to be at the center of this because he can't not be because he's LeBron James. And he's been very vociferous in that he had no part in this. He even said he wasn't consulted about it, which honestly, that's kind of a no win, right? Like if he wasn't consulted about it, like
really
that's no good.
Really
no, but this seems to be the case.
That if you go to the best, if you have the best basketball player on the planet on your team, that you consult him about everything you do.
That's
you
exactly
consult
right.
him about ball boys, like you
yeah, seriously.
Guys. Like seriously, exactly. Like if you did not consult him, and that's legitimate.
Who's your favorite floor mopper, LeBron? We'll make sure he's at our end.
Yeah, exactly.
The bad ones at the other end.
Genuine when he says that he was not consulted, then blow this thing up. That is terrible.
Well, and I think that goes to Harper's previous point that it's just an indication of how poorly run this franchise is, because that seems to be the case. All the reporting that I've read, and David Griffin himself says, and LeBron says that LeBron was not consulted in this decision at all. Which, if that's the case, that's an insane move to make.
Right.
Right.
Now, that being said, I don't think you really had to consult with LeBron.
Right. I think
to know
his opinion
LeBron
was clear.
Didn't like
Blatt. But again, this goes back to probably they didn't consult LeBron after the finals last year, right?
No, that's
like,
exactly.
Wouldn't you bring him in and have a meeting and be like, LeBron, what do you want to do with this team? Do you want Blatt around? Do we want Kevin Love around? Like, all of these things. And I don't know that those conversations were had. Right.
Right. Well, I feel like there's this real power struggle, not between Griffin, who's the GM, and Gilbert, the owner, but between LeBron and Gilbert, right? Like, I feel like Gilbert is just kind of like, I think he even said something to the effect of, this isn't LeBron's team to run. And it's like, I get it. You own that thing.
Sure.
But you better own your best player, one of the best players to ever grace the court. You better own the fact that he's on your team, and make him a part of that operation? Or just like, what chance do they have of beating a team like the Golden State Warriors when their house is not in
order? Or the Spurs, or yeah, exactly. Yeah. I feel like they've really jeopardized their chances at a time. I mean, I don't, to change leadership so dramatically halfway through the season. Yeah, I mean, I suppose if any team can get over it, it's a team with the best basketball player on the planet, right? Who,
well, and the best leader and coach, right? I mean,
who could drag a team of, you know, nobodies basically to the finals last year? They've got a full 3 months to figure this out, 4 months or whatever, right? So,
I think they know that they're not better than San Antonio or Golden State. I mean, I think that's where the panic button comes in. Okay. But is that really the coach's fault? I mean, is this a personnel issue? I don't know. Did Golden State and San Antonio move the ball better? Yes. You know, is Kevin Love underachieving? Sure. You know, has Kyrie Irving been hurt? Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Like, I get that they're nervous, but this smacks of, you're right, a disorganized organization. Instead of coming with solutions, they're just sort of
right.
Panic firing people.
And, like, if you, as a team in the locker room, want to panic and say, we have to do stuff right now to get better, to beat these caliber teams, fine. You guys go have that conversation. But as management, you can't be like, oh, our solution is to panic. Like, that's not
right.
Right.
Organizationally
that's
a choice that should be in front of you. Yeah. It's not good. And the timing on this was so inexplicable and so bad that it even got other coaches around the league involved in this conversation. Mm-hmm. Rick Carlisle was very outspoken. Doc Rivers was very outspoken. Mm-hmm. All these guys, like, I don't – like, this is ridiculous. You got a coach who is, you know, 30-11, who's actually got a better winning percentage than he did last year when he took his team to the finals and lost to one of the greatest teams in NBA history. It's so bad on so many levels. It's bad for PR. It's bad organizationally. The way that they handled it to the press was terrible. Everything about this was head-scratchingly bad.
And it's not as if you replaced him with Phil Jackson or something like that, right?
Sure.
Like, you're bringing in Tyronn Lue, who has never coached a game in the NBA, right?
Well, but what's so aggravating about that move, though, is that he's already on contract. You don't have to give him a multi-year extension to keep him there.
Right. Yeah. Like, he was already the highest paid assistant coach in the league or something.
Exactly. Like, do a damn coach search. If you still think that Tyronn Lue's your guy, then you give him an extension.
Yeah, just make him interim for now.
Oh,
I guess.
God.
I don't know. Yeah.
Right. There's no need for that.
It's so befuddling.
What I would say is that if you're a Cleveland Cavaliers fan, at least you're not a Cleveland Browns fan.
Although, sadly, you probably are both.
Yeah, why would you not be both?
I don't know. But actually, if you're a Cavs fan,
well played, Coulson.
Well, and
it's just a sad life to live.
You know, we're recording this on Sunday, so we don't have a ton of data, but Tyronn Lue's debut game was last night against the Chicago Bulls at home, in which the Cavs kind of lost in somewhat embarrassing fashion.
They got handled.
99-83 or something like that in this supposedly Tyronn Lue is going to help the offense situation. It's an end of one, so I don't want to go too far, but it certainly wasn't an inspiring debut. It's not as if the players came out and played like gangbusters, you know,
rallied
because
around
now they're him. Now they're freed from the oppressive hand of David Blatt or whatever.
LeBron James led that game in points, assists, and rebounds. So apparently he's the only guy who likes Tyronn Lue and is playing for him.
Hmm.
We'll see.
So are they going to make another move? Are they going to make a player personnel move? Are they going to trade Kevin Love?
No, Mozgov is the first guy to go. I can't speak to Love, but Mozgov's definitely gone.
Hmm. Mozgov.
The internet is a bit spotty in Mother Russia. So if you need to get me to come back and coach the Cavs, just send me mail.
Send me mail.
A postcard.
Just postcard signed by LeBron James. Tears.
I heard an interesting, I forget where I heard this, but an interesting trade was Kevin Love to the Blazers for CJ McCollum and like a pick or something like that, probably. Which I thought was interesting. I think that's a mutually beneficial trade.
I don't think I understand why you think that, and I'm not sure if I agree yet or not, but I don't think the Cavs agree with that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, they're getting, you know, not pennies on the dollar, but not full value for Love, I guess, at that point. But
right. And
Love's very good.
Love is super good. I liked it from Portland's point of view, though, to get Kevin Love out there, because he's from Oregon, right?
I am cool with that trade. I love CJ McCollum, but I will take me some Kevin Love, absolutely. Hmm. And he would shine on that team, by the way.
Because I guess it's going to be, we'll see what happens over the next few months. But like, clearly when Kyrie Irving, Kevin Love, and LeBron James are all healthy and on the floor, they don't use those guys to their maximum ability. Like, Kevin Love doesn't get utilized as well as he should be. Right. And maybe maybe that's a function of the way the NBA is now, but I kind of doubt it. I mean, Kevin Love's a super effective player, so.
Well, we'll see. The reality for me is that I still think that this is the best team in the East. You know, kind of doesn't matter how they shake up the front. It doesn't matter if Dan Gilbert sells the team tomorrow. At the end of the day, they still got LeBron James playing on their team, and nobody else in the East can say that. I still don't think that at this point they're good enough to beat either San Antonio or Golden State, who they will likely face in the finals. So they're kind of where they're at. You know what I mean? Like, why panic? Try and make the best out of what you got. It should be a very successful season, and apparently they're not happy with a 73% winning percentage, but right. I would kill for that personally.
But, I mean, I guess the mistake that they made last time with LeBron was not doing enough to build a championship contender. And maybe they're overreacting this time and making moves too quickly or whatever, or making too many moves to try to do it. But
yeah,
it's better than just standing pat. And
you know. I mean, I'm with you. You know, we're probably about done with this, but you know, this opens up a whole other Pandora's box too. About you know, I know LeBron wanted that Kevin Love trade, mm-hmm. but if this is the team, and you know, I just Andrew Wiggins would have done a heck of a job on this team. Mm-hmm. You've already got a great rebounding four. Andrew Wiggins has no ego because he's Canadian. I'm telling you, he would have been a great fit on this team, and he would have asked for nothing, and he would have been used well. I think mm-hmm. so. I don't know. That's a whole that's an off-season pod. We'll have to revisit that one.
Sure.
I think also in the news, big story: the Rockets. They sent the draft rights of forward Marty Lunin to the Clippers. Clippers send back money and draft rights to Ukrainian big man Siri Likshuk. What do you guys think about that?
I didn't hear you say it. I want to hear you say it again.
Which part?
Cut out a little bit there.
Oh. Siri Likshuk.
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 Marty Lunin is super happy. It's the first time he's ever been involved in something that's considered big news. So.
Yeah.
I feel like he's always on the outskirts of a big trade. I don't know.
Yeah, he's always just right outside the focus.
Not this time.
Except for the fact that I guess we should just for posterity's sake mention that the Clippers also sent Josh Smith to the Rockets as chaff on this trade. But
interesting. Didn't they also pay his salary?
They did.
Yeah, that's right. <this boy>. Yeah.
So he's back in Houston. I don't know. He can shoot threes back where he was before. Back with his buddy Dwight.
Well, and this worked well last year. He fit well with them last year. So I think this is a good move for Houston. Actually, this is a brilliant move for Houston because
he's free.
You get him for free. Hey. Well, they had to give up draft rights to somebody, right?
Right.
But that's it. Marty Lunin.
Marty Lunin.
So when Marty Lunin is raising the, what do they call the MVP trophy? Is there a name for the MVP trophy?
Bill Russell.
Michael Jordan trophy?
No, it's the Bill
Russell. That's the finals MVP.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, when he's raising the Larry O'Brien trophy in 2022 as the finals MVP, then they can regret this trade, but... And then the Lakers, or the Clippers, what do the Clippers get out of this? They get rid of a knucklehead, I guess.
They get rid of, yeah, they get rid of Josh Smith. That's it.
Yeah.
But was he really causing them problems? I mean, they've won 11 of 12 or something like that.
Not thanks to Josh Smith.
No, sure, but he was so bad that they had to just get him off their team. They had to pay money to get him off their team.
Exactly right.
You've got to go to work every day, and you interact with a very small group of people. I mean, you're
okay.
You know, you're 15 guys plus your coaching staff,
mm-hmm.
and it's clear who the people are that make your life harder. And I think Doc Rivers was like, "Look, I'm just over it." And Houston was giving him a call, being like, "Hey, the only thing that kept my locker room together was Josh Smith." And
that didn't happen.
No. This week, I'm drinking it's a woodchuck gumption.
They had to initiate this trade. That had to have happened. They were like,
For sure.
Really miss Josh Smith on our team because we're not playing as well as we should.
Yeah, and then they said, we want him so bad that you'll have to pay for him? No, that didn't happen. That was not the conversation.
We want him so bad that you need to pay us.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, the Clippers were like, who will take this guy? No one raised their hand.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, okay, Rockets, you guys suck. We will literally pay his salary. Will you take him out of our locker room? And that was a conversation.
All right, that's probably fair.
There's no metric for that. That really is a touchy-feely thing. The Clippers feel like they're underperforming.
It's a chemistry thing. It's what happens in the coffee room, you know?
But clearly somebody in the Clippers organization thought that he was that knuckleheady. Mm-hmm. And it probably tells you a lot about the Rockets that they will take him back.
Or maybe they're really high on Marty Lunin. I mean, who knows?
Sure.
Who's not high on Marty Lunin? You know what I'm saying? I'm pretty sure.
If that's a new euphemism for ecstasy, sure.
I'm pretty sure it's a really good strain of weed out in Denver.
Marty Lunin? Ludsnin?
Good luck, Josh Smith. Good luck, Rockets.
Yeah.
You know what? Screw you, Rockets.
No, screw you, Clippers.
I don't like either of these teams. I don't want either of them win.
Don't fight.
What did I?
Screw both of them. Okay.
I predicted that they would both crash and burn this season, right? And they're both sort of playing well, and it pisses me off. Screw you both. I hope this trade destroys both your franchises.
And just for the record, the NBA MVP award is named for Maurice Podoloff.
Really?
Yep. First NBA commissioner. And president of the NBA. Served from 46 to 63, interestingly. Thank you, Wiki.
Nice.
So what's the actual name of it?
Maurice Podoloff.
The Maurice Podoloff Award?
Trophy, yeah.
Trophy.
Is his middle name Vladimir?
It's David.
Maurice Vladimir Podoloff.
Maurice David MVP. Black Podoloff.
That's why it's called the MVP.
In Mother Russia, we don't give awards. Awards give us.
We're a little late on him.
Let's take a break, Jay.
Yeah, we should get out of here. Hey, let's take a break. I agree. Coulson is off the rails. Someone... We put in a call to see if we can get someone to put him back on the tracks. Also, your girlfriend is an angel.
I don't know if there's an antidote for guava mimosas or whatever.
Time.
Snake venom. Yeah.
All right, we're taking a break. Make a hard stop here. We got music from listener George Prunis. He was very, very nice and posted our show to the Pacers Digest earlier this year. Found out he was a musician, and he's working under under the name Geogenesis. The song is called Kublai Khan. Check it out. We'll get links in the show notes.
Shout out.
Shout out.
Shout out.
Back from the break, thanks to George Prunus for his song. We'll get a link to everything. It's got a couple different styles of music, but I'm really digging it. Next up, we got my stat of the week.
Joey's stat of the week!
A little bit interesting, I think. You know, Paul George was, in November, Player of the Month. Pretty amazing. But since December 1st, total, he's had more turnovers than he has had assists.
Mm.
That seems not good.
Yeah.
That is brutal.
That's pretty rough.
Especially for a guy who we were literally just talking up last week for his increased ability to distribute, huh?
Well, he can still do that, but he's he also has an increased ability to turn the ball over.
Yep. Yeah, and I mean, I think that this is not, it's not a far walk to take this statistic towards the Pacers' struggles over the last month and a half or whatever, right?
No.
I mean, when your best player is coughing it up more than he is making plays for his team, that's, it's not going to lead to success in a lot of games.
Well, that may be, but I think it was Isaiah Thomas was always a big hater on the assist-to-turnover ratio thing.
Hmm.
Great point guard by any metric, but his assist-to-turnover ratio was always terrible.
Sure.
And he was still able to lead great teams.
But his assist-to-turnover ratio was always positive, right?
Yes.
It was above one. It was not a decimal, right? So I agree that it's not exactly the greatest indicator. That if you're going to have the ball in your hands, you're going to turn it over, right? Like, I think it's
right.
His thing. And you're going to make riskier passes at some level. But the thing is that more times than not, it has to lead to something good, I think.
Yeah, you are not allowed to win Player of the Month when right. Your assist-turnover ratio is negative. Yeah, that's bad. Right.
Well, this is interesting because Colson had said that this was his metric for a team, basically, mm-hmm. of his measure of how well we were doing as a team. So it's interesting that there's a nice microcosm here.
Yeah. And again, there's so much room for improvement in that little category, mm-hmm. but can it have such big effects on the greater game that there's a lot to be excited about in the second half of the season.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I just appreciate that this stint for Paul George hasn't really ruined my fantasy season, so that's good. I mean,
jeez,
we're weathering the storm. The Beltway Blockosaurus is weathering the storm.
Last thing we want to get into is the All-Star Game's coming up. The starters were announced last week. We talked about that. But of course, there is the All-Star Reserves picked by the coaches. somebody's going to get snubbed. It happens every year because there's good players, and there's a lot of good players, and there's only so many positions. Jason, do you want to talk about who you think is going to be on the bench for the two conferences?
Yeah, sure. Well, let's just recap first because the starters were announced last week. We mentioned who we thought they should be.
Oh, right.
But then they actually announced them last week. So the Eastern Conference starters are Dwayne Wade and Kyle Lowry in the backcourt. Lowry got a big push from the Canadian vote to overcome Kyrie Irving. And then the front court is Carmelo Anthony, the aforementioned Paul George, and a guy you may have heard of, LeBron James. He's decent. And then in the West, the starters are Steph Curry, who's having an okay season. Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard, Joey.
Hooray!
And Kobe Bean Bryant.
Can I just shout out to the voters on this one? Mm-hmm. I'm really okay with all of this.
Yep, yep.
Kyrie Irving was going to be the thing that pissed me off, right?
Yep, that's exactly right. And Kobe is kind of pissed me off, but whatever, it's Kobe. It's his last year, and the fans love him. So put him in there. That's great.
Yeah, he's not a rapist.
True.
So I'll be pissed if he gets in there next year.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that might be out there somewhere.
For okay. sure. Okay, so Harper and I were talking beforehand. We are in surprising agreement on a lot of these. Let's do the Eastern Conference first. I'll go through mine, and then Harper can disagree. So the way it works for the reserves is you pick, again, two backcourt guys, three frontcourt guys, and then you have two wild cards that could be either frontcourt or backcourt. So I went for the two backcourt guys, Jimmy Butler and John Wall. And then in the frontcourt, Andre Drummond, Paul Millsap, and Chris Bosh. And then my wild cards are DeMar DeRozan and Isaiah Thomas.
That's wild.
I would play with that team.
Yeah.
I would coach that team. The backcourt, no question about it. Jimmy Butler, absolutely an all-star season. John Wall has really come on of late, and even when he's not playing well, he's an all-star. I'm with you. Mm-hmm. Drummond, no question. Millsap, I think, has to go. Fans may not know it, but the coaches do. Mm-hmm. DeRozan, yes. Bosh, yes. Isaiah Thomas, and the other guy that I think should be there is Pau Gasol.
Pow, pow, pow.
Pow, pow. He's having a really good year. He just does what he does. I would love to see Isaiah Thomas in the game. I really think he's having, you know, he's a fun player to watch. 5'10 guy. He's got the underdog thing, always chasing him because of his size. Mm-hmm. And he's playing great basketball. So I'm good with that. But, you know, Gasol, by the numbers, probably deserves a good long look.
Yeah, for sure. And Gasol was the other name that I had written down. It came down to those two guys. And I went with Thomas for that reason. I mean, Gasol's been there before. Mm-hmm. Thomas hasn't. It's always nice to have a new guy in there. And also, he's fun for an all-star game. His game translates better than Palace, 16-foot jump shots and solid defense. You know,
right? Not that sexy. Chicks dig the low post defense. Oh, no,
that's exactly. No, right.
I would be really surprised if the coaches deviate in any way from those players.
Yeah, yeah. We were talking before, and we couldn't even think of other guys. I mean, there are dudes out there, right? Like Jeff Teague, potentially. Kyrie Irving is at an all-star level. He just hasn't played that much this year.
I don't think the coaches are going to give him that nod, right? Just for the small sample set. Jeff Teague, very good player. His numbers are down from last year when he was an all-star, right? Mm-hmm. You're not going to, you're right. There's just not that much else out there. Maybe they want to take a flyer on Porzingis. I don't know. Mm.
That'd be crazy.
I don't think the coaches would do that, though.
Yeah,
yeah, I agree. I'm just not sure the coaches would do that. But he's had a very good year.
Kemba Walker in his 40-point explosions against your fantasy team. It's not good enough. Okay, let's go to the West. I have Klay Thompson and Chris Paul as the backup, or the backcourt. Draymond Green, Anthony Davis, and Boogie. And then James Harden and Damian Lillard are my names.
Those are all very good names. I think that I agree with all of that stuff. I think that Griffin is still an underrated player in this league. So I will make an argument for Blake Griffin over James Harden, I guess, as it turns out, which is weird. It's a wild card issue, right?
Yeah.
No, like he's so important to what they do as a team. And we look at the numbers when he's not on the floor. As great as Chris Paul is, when Blake Griffin's not on the floor, that team is just not as good. They're just not.
Sure. Part of the thing with Griffin is he's missed a chunk of games here. That was part of my reasoning. And in that chunk of games, it turns out that the Clippers did really, really well without him. So better it kind of undercuts his argument that Griffin is super important to them. In some ways, you know what I mean?
Yeah, those metrics are still out there, but they did have a very good stretch without him. But they got hot at the—I mean, they've been hot at the, you know, at the right times this season. So that's a long con, Jason. I'm not buying.
Yeah, and I mean, I have no issue with Griffin, and really, Harden should be punished for coming into camp out of shape and dogging it for the first month and a half of the season.
But he should get props for the best side eye in the history of sports.
Is it better than Bernie Sanders' side eye towards Hillary
it's Clinton? It's like 50-50. He might be the running mate with how good that side eye is. The only other guy that I think maybe we left off this list that we talked about a little bit was Dirk. He's got a team playing pretty good, and the man is just apparently time does not affect
exactly
the sweet stroke that he has.
That's mostly what it is. I'm just amazed that Dirk Nowitzki is still doing. He's averaging like 18-8 or something like that. And when you look at him run up and down the court, you're like, that guy should be like in a wheelchair. Like, I don't trust his legs to keep him up for this 94 feet. But
absolutely,
he does it.
Unbelievable range, good teammate. Like, there's so much stuff to like about Dirk Nowitzki, but until he announces his last year, I'm not giving him the auto bid.
Okay, that's fair.
I guess the other two guys that are left off are Timmy and LaMarcus Aldridge. But since they're splitting minutes, in some sense, that's probably inevitable. But
well, that's the thing. Yeah, I mean, really, you have three guys from the Warriors who are all totally deserved, I think. But the Spurs are right there, and as we have it, they only get one All-Star out of this. But that's a testament to the how many good players there are in the Western Conference, I think, and the fact that that Spurs team, it's just kind of everybody chips in and does their part, you know. So LaMarcus is not putting up All-Star numbers at all this year. I mean, he's playing well, but he just doesn't have to put up 20 and 10, you know.
16 and 9 ain't bad.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, you're right.
I think, yeah, you can make the same argument about the Lakers. You know, they're only sending one guy, too. Kobe's doing his part, and then everybody else, I don't know.
Joey, is there a player that you would like to see in the All-Star game, regardless of, you know, whether or not they deserve it or not, just from a pure entertainment standpoint, that you would like to see in the All-Star game?
Well, of course, everyone knows I'm a big fan of Lance Stephenson. I would like to see him just like fully unleashed without
rules.
Without rules
or
and
referees.
Yeah, all that sort of good stuff. I would like to see him out there just clowning in a purely offensive game. He would just be entertaining.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a great point. I'd pay to see that.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know what? I'd actually, in that context, I'd pay to see Rajon Rondo too. He's having a hell of a year.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. for sure.
He's another guy. I really, really respect good passers, and he's another one.
He can make great things happen, and you know, when nothing but alley oops get scored, alley oops and 3-pointers. That's it, right?
Mm-hmm. Seriously, I really, yeah. His he'll just stand there and then wait for the play to develop, and then he'll just, I don't know, just his court vision is enough to get him far enough.
He sees things that no one else sees.
Yep.
People are surprised by his passes a lot.
Mm-hmm. Including the players on his team.
Yeah.
No, the receiving player. That's exactly what I mean.
So, yeah, I would like to see Lance Stephenson unleashed upon this league. And he'd be fun in the skills competition, I think, too, if they would let him do that.
Oh, yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah, for sure.
If there was a shimmy competition, I think he's a lock.
if there was a self high five competition?
Oh, man. No competition. They would call that the Lance.
The Lancer.
The Lancer. You got Lancered.
Nice.
God, we should be planning this weekend.
Yeah, seriously.
This All-Star weekend. This will be amazing.
Yeah. Well, I think that one thing that they should add is like the Steph Curry competition. So it's just progressively deeper and deeper shots that you have to take or something.
But it's only Steph, right?
No, but just him. I don't want to watch anybody else.
I wouldn't.
It would be embarrassing for anybody else.
Yeah, exactly.
What are they also? The other competitions they have, they got the rookie sophomore game.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it should be interesting this year.
Yeah, I think that'd be good. Shooting Stars.
Oh, I forgot about Shooting Stars. Is Steph doing that?
I hope so.
Yeah, he might be taking the half court shot.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
What's the over-under on tries, too? Is it one? Probably. Is the over-under one?
Might be 1.5.
My God. I hate that guy so much.
But Chris Bosh actually is, like, the best in that competition.
Yeah. He's, like, two-time reigning champ.
At least.
Yeah. But can even he keep up with Steph Curry? I don't know.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Pressure's
on, Steph.
That's right. Where's the All-Star Games in Toronto this year? Is that right?
Yep.
Sweet.
You know. Toronto, eh?
Yeah. It'll be good, you know. Yeah. Let's have some, what do they call that? Some poutine? Let's have some poutine.
Some
poutine, eh?
And some Canadian?
I still have trouble Canadian? Watching. You know, a lot of the stuff I'll just put it on and let it go, and it's fun to watch, but the celebrity game is intolerable. Can't do it.
I don't watch it.
Mm-mm.
I was hoping that the starters, they were making a push to be in the celebrity game, but
Ooh. Oh, I would watch that.
But they didn't get in it, so.
Well,
now
I will
not
watch that.
Out of protest. Yeah.
Is it going to be like Macklemore or something? Like,
I don't know. Drake probably is going to play.
Well, Drake's actually kind of good. So
Bieber.
I'm not happy with that.
Who's the dude?
He's Canadian, so he'll probably play.
He is super Canadian.
I like the guy from this Department of Education. That guy was good.
Oh, yeah.
Arnie Duncan.
That's the guy.
That dude bald.
Yeah. He's good.
Oh, we're going to have another
year. Maybe I want Obama.
Maybe after Obama is president, he'll play in the celebrity.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he should do that, dude. He would triple dub. Awesome. The guy... Once he gets his game back on track, when he's not working 90 hours a week,
yeah,
he actually has some game.
Who's we're gonna get more another weekend of that? Who's that little dude, the quote unquote comedian,
Kevin Hart?
That's the guy. Another weekend of that guy.
Is he? He's like the official MC of All Star Weekend.
Probably. I don't know.
Yeah. Everybody loves Kevin Hart.
Do they?
And they do. He's a really nice guy.
I don't doubt that.
But you hate him nonetheless.
Professionally. Personally, I'm sure he's a nice human being.
Sure.
That's just about enough, Kevin Hart. Anything else this week, gentlemen?
Nope.
Apropos of nothing... Do you guys realize how close we were to getting Zaza Pachulia starting in an All-Star game?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I did hear about this.
Oh, my God. It was like 7,000 votes or something.
How did that happen? No offense.
I was trying to look it up. I was like, he must have had the best, you know, campaign in the history of all campaigns. But it wasn't out there. I couldn't find anything.
Well, yeah. Well, apparently the country of Georgia got like super into it and were like,
okay,
massively promoting voting for Zsa Pachulia. Like people were on the Georgian version of The Voice or Dancing with the Stars or one of these reality competition things and like wearing Zsa Pachulia jerseys and like, yeah.
Like Kawhi Leonard almost got snubbed. For Zsa. That almost happened. Like, how hilarious would that have been? I kind of almost wished it would have happened just so I could see Joey's head explode.
Yeah, exactly. Out. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you thought you'd be pissed if Kyrie Irving got voted in.
No, I don't think I could. You know what? That would be better than. Honestly, that would be better. That's like a fun story. That's better than some of the things that have happened in the past. Snubs. It's usually Kobe.
Always Kobe.
Typically Kobe related.
It's Kobe or Kobe related. you know, I just realized this. We're not going to get hardly any more David Blatt interviews. It's an end of an era.
No, we can still send Coulson to Russia. I don't know if we need any more David Blatt interviews, but we can still send Coulson to Russia.
Ooh, maybe we could bring him on as an intern, do some research for us.
Yeah. Baby Al has been slacking.
Baby. I haven't heard from that guy in months.
And plus, you know, Blatt's still under contract. Like, what was it? $20 million was his contract. He worked a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, what are we just, you know... $6.50 an hour? What's minimum wage? I don't know.
I have no idea, actually. Not high enough. That's the answer. And
then we'll make him an unpaid intern.
Yeah, but we'll make him an unpaid intern. As outraged as I am that the minimum wage isn't high enough, I'm definitely going to hire an unpaid intern.
All right. Well, do we have any games coming up this week or anything going on?
There are games. I mean, we played the Clippers on Tuesday.
When?
We won the hell out of that game. That was awesome. And then we played the Hawks on Thursday. These are all home games this week. And then we play the Nuggets on Saturday, I believe.
When? There's no way that we lose to the Nuggets. I will guarantee that game.
Ooh, I like it.
After the way that we lost on their court, you think they're going to win on our court? No chance.
God, I hope not.
It's automatic. Automatic. If you have money, put it on that game.
You heard it here first, folks.
It's a crucial week
for us. I mean, we got to get some wins out of this.
We've already beat the Hawks this year, and I think, you know, we want to do it again, too.
Yeah, for sure.
Good. That's a good team playing well, though. That's a tough team.
Yeah, we got 3 weeks left before the All-Star break, so go 500 or better in these games.
Sure, all doable.
Yeah, just get me back to, you know, at least five, hopefully six or seven games over 500. We're good.
Mm-hmm.
It's money. That felt very Coulson-esque. It's money.
Yeah. With nothing to back it up. Except his gut feeling. Well, let's get the hell out of here then. I think it's a good time to do that. Until next week, you can find us on Twitter. We are at Undebeatables. We're on Facebook.com/TheUndebeatables. Website is TheUndebeatables.com. There's a contact form there. You can send us all a message. You can review us on iTunes. That really helps new listeners find our show. Got t-shirts for sale.
For our once and always coach, Bobby Slick Leonard, now in the Hall of Fame. 529. And the Crispus Attucks Tigers. Sure. What are all the things that Coulson says?
Yep.
Turn out the lights. Party's over.
Let me just check my under my earphones, my headphones here. There's no blood coming out. That's good.
Yeah, it's different. It's new. I like it.
Just got through it fast.
Put your head down.
Just rip off the Band-Aid.
Push through.
Turn out the lights. The party's over.
Excellent.
So it'll be like I just didn't talk for the second half, which most of Pacer Nation will be...
You're editing this. You don't have to explain this to us.
No. What I'm saying is most of Pacer Nation will be happy I didn't talk for the second half.
No. What? I couldn't hear you.
In Mother Russia.
You're gonna have a good day.